Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, you've been hearing in the news how the line between church and state is again in dispute, both at the federal and maybe you've heard the New York City level. You've heard about President Obama wanting all employers, including religious ones, to offer contraception coverage in their health insurance packages. New York State, by the way, already has such a requirement. Now it looks like Mayor Bloomberg and the state legislature are at odds over religious services being held in New York City public school buildings. The mayor wants to stop that. We'll talk about that now with New York State Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver. Also talk about his proposal to raise the minimum wage as part of the social contract for the working poor. Mr. Speaker, always good of you to come on. Welcome back to WNYC.
Well, thank you, Brian. Pleasure to be here with you.
First on the religious services in New York City public schools, it's mostly Christian services on Sundays. The mayor does not want those services. He thinks it violates separation and equal protection. And it seemed that you had agreed with the mayor until the last day or two, where there are some stories that you're changing your position. What can you tell us?
I'm not changing my position at all. I think we're trying to come up with some compromise language that recognizes a Supreme Court decision on this subject that will permit the city Department of Education to make a determination consistent with the Supreme Court decisions as whether they are establishing religion in the public schools. That's what we're searching for now, is something that will give them back the discretion to make the determination in an appropriate fashion. Obviously, the court that struck it down talked about regularity, talked about subsidizing a religion by offering the facilities at a severely reduced rate. And these are all factors in the determination based on that federal court decision and prior Supreme Court decisions, which seem to say prayer is protected by the First Amendment, and worship or converting the schools to a church, even for that minimum time, and subsidizing it and doing it with regularity, are the problems that take place in the current practice. So somewhere along the way, we want to be able to give the city the discretion to make the significant constitutional determinations.
The city actually was trying to not have church services take place in New York City public schools, if I understand it correctly, and a court said that they have to, right?
No, the court didn't say they have to. The court actually said that they were right. But they used several factors in making that determination, including the fact that there was regular use of the buildings on a regular basis, that they were charging a minimal fee for the use of it, in effect subsidizing the church that was using the building, and also that there was some level of disruption of the normal public school as a result of the church services taking place there.
You said the other day that the state Senate version of a bill on this could wind up with the Ku Klux Klan holding meetings in public schools. Why did you bring them into it?
Well, because the state Senate bill, basically, in an attempt to specifically permit the churches in, said it shall be open to any group. And, you know, an open public forum.
Any group without respect to their religious content or point of view is,
exactly.
Is the language.
An open public forum, I think, is the language, actually,
that
they talked about. So, you know, that's the schools are limited, I mean, is the other issue. And if everybody decides that they have to be in there, there's going to be a competition as well.
And I guess another issue here is that it seems to favor the Christian religions over others because the school buildings just aren't available for outside uses on Fridays and Saturdays as much as on Sundays.
Well, obviously, that's clearly a question that's in that legislation. But clearly, we talk about when buildings are available. We're not going to mix other issues into the school day.
And by the way, before we get to your minimum wage hike and other income inequality fighting proposals, this controversy engulfing the president now over requiring all employer-based health insurance to include contraception coverage, even religious employees, we have actually had that in New York State for 10 years, some version of that, haven't we?
Yes, we have. And if institutions don't permitted in their religion, they are required to make provision for it in New York State elsewhere.
So do you think there's something in that compromise language, not have it themselves but make provision for it, that could serve as a model for Washington?
I believe we have always been a model for Washington on a lot of things, including the minimum wage that we're about to talk about.
And we are. On to income inequality in New York State. My guest is New York State Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver. You are proposing to raise the state minimum wage from $7.25 an hour to $8.50. Why that number?
That is correct. We believe that is a step that does something significant for minimum wage workers, that keeps us in line with competing states around us. Connecticut is $8.25, Massachusetts is $8, Vermont is $8.46, and New Jersey and Connecticut, the leaders of the legislature have introduced legislation in New Jersey and Connecticut to raise their minimum wages to $8.50. So it would keep New York competitive from an economic standpoint. It would give a tremendous boost to families in New York who work hard and in many cases hold multiple jobs but are barely at the poverty line. That's not the American dream. I believe if you work full time, you shouldn't be poor.
Is this part of a broader response that you have to income inequality in the state and to make sure people who are working for a living aren't in poverty?
That's what it is. People who work full time should not be poor. And the reality is that far too many people are who go to work every day, and they're poor. And this will be a top priority for us, in addition to reducing the tax burden on those people making in the lower rung of our tax schedule.
I read that Governor Cuomo won't endorse your bill yet. Tell me if I'm wrong. Waiting to see the details. Do you think there are certain things the governor is looking for?
We've introduced the bill, so the details are out there. I think he said he was waiting to see what other people comment on it, business groups, etc.
Do you have any doubt that the governor would sign it if it gets through the legislature?
I would think that he would. I would think that he would sign it if it got through the legislature. But I think he has, and he may weigh in on it as far as certain nuances of the details that he may want changed.
Small business owners don't like raising the minimum wage. They say it could put them out of business if their profit margin is small, and it means fewer jobs to go around, they argue, since they only have so much to spend on wages.
There have been a number of studies on the issue of minimum wage, and most of those studies show that raising the minimum wage does not reduce employment. Studies were done in border counties and states with disparate minimum wages, and the fact remains that they did not show an increase in the low minimum wage state and a decrease in the higher minimum wage state as a result. The fact remains that most of the minimum wage workers are in service industries, retail, fast food cooks, child care workers, building and grounds cleaning, cashiers, laundry and dry cleaning, parking lots, hairdressers, lobby attendants, all businesses that can't pick up and move elsewhere because they are dependent on a retail trade that exists in New York State.
The city, as you know, is looking at a living wage bill, $10 an hour, specifically for employers with city contracts, so that the city isn't in the business of subsidizing poverty wages. Do we have a living wage bill for state contracts?
No, we don't have a living wage bill for state contracts, but the mayor of the city has, in fact, endorsed this legislation, this minimum wage legislation, for all workers in New York City.
Your legislation, you mean, for a statewide increase in the minimum?
Yes, he has indicated his support for that.
Advocates might ask, why not just go all the way with the living wage and raise the state minimum to $10? That would still only be $20,000 a year for full-time work, which is below the poverty line for a family wage.
What we do is raise it to $850, and then we index it to inflation. So in future years, it will grow based on the CPI.
And that's a progressive idea because the federal minimum wage has not been indexed to inflation, which is why they have to have a battle each time, and it hasn't kept up proportionally, correct?
That's correct, and that's why in this legislation, we raise it to $850, and then we index it to inflation for years beyond it so it doesn't have to become a political football. And, in fact, minimum wage workers can keep living with their minimum wage growing with inflation.
I had read you were also going to propose a state income tax decrease for people making $30,000 and under. Do I have that right?
That's correct. Married couples under $30,000 or individuals at the $20,000 level.
And they are paying state income tax now? I think at that level they don't pay any federal income tax.
That's correct, but they do pay state income tax there.
And so you'd be proposing?
Elimination of it.
Complete elimination.
Yes.
And any increase, additional increase at the top level to make up the revenue?
No, it's not necessary. As far as we're concerned, we would probably phase it in two stages, and the whole cost of it is about $150 or $160 million a year.
Later in the program, we're going to be talking about the congressional proposal that Joe Loda at the MTA and others are very concerned would really, really hurt mass transit in New York. And as you know, in the state budget agreement that you came to with the governor at the end of last year, that did away with a dedicated payroll tax for the MTA at the state level, and no specific stream of funding was inserted to replace it. Do you have now an idea of where that $250 million might come from this year?
That's from the state directly, and it's not an elimination of the payroll tax. It's a scale down of the payroll tax. It's a reduction for small businesses, and it's an elimination for schools, with the understanding that the state will pick up that elimination and fund directly to the MTA.
So it'll just come out of the general fund?
Exactly.
And you're confident that the MTA isn't going to take any hit?
I'm confident that that will totally be replaced in the state budget, yes.
One other tax change proposal I'd like to hear you comment on. We had Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer on this week, a likely mayoral candidate next year, and he proposed a revenue-neutral income tax reform for the city aimed at lessening inequality. He says raising rates about 0.5% on $1 million or more and lowering them for couples under 300,000, singles under 200,000, that would need approval of the state legislature. Would you support that change in city taxes in the assembly?
That's what we did statewide, basically, and that's what I think our conference would certainly support on a state level for the city of New York.
All right. Sheldon Silver, the New York State Assembly Speaker, thank you so much for coming on with us. We always appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, we have President Obama's newest cabinet member, Karen Mills. She is the head of the Small Business Administration, and we are opening the phones now for anyone who owns a small business to call in and talk to the head of the SBA. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. What policies would you like to see from Washington to help your small business? The head of the SBA will take your calls in just a minute. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. This obviously a big issue in the election year as well, how to help small business. Democrats and Republicans have some different ideas on this. So Karen Mills will be here representing President Obama, and she will take your phone calls. 212-433-9692 if you're a small business owner, for the head of the SBA, President Obama's newest cabinet member.